Richard Belmont, the historic Grade II Jerome Stakes, was won by Adios Charlie, a three-year-old Cobra Indian Charlie. The Jerome was just the third career start for Adios Charlie. He was a closing second in his only start at two. That was at Belmont. Then was an impressive 6 3/4 lengths winner at Gulfstream on March 11. In the Jerome, he stalked the early pace, then drew off to win by 2 1/2 lengths at the direct expense of graded stakes winner Astrology, the son of AP Indy. That's the kind of performance horsemen have come to expect from the progeny of Indian Charlie. Sire, the winners of 4 Eclipse Awards, including last year's juvenile champion Uncle Moe. In other stakes, the Alphabet Kisses at Hollywood Park was won by Sparkling Style, a three-year-old filly from the first crop by Badge of Silver. It was Sparkling Style's first start, and she was won by 6 1/2 lengths. Badge of Silver, in his first crop, was also the sire of the graded stakes winner Silver Medallion and the Tropical Park Derby winner King Ganji, who was beaten a nose and a head in the Grade One Bluegrass Stakes. Badge of Silver is a multiple graded stakes winner and millionaire by Silver Deputy, and both he and Indian Charlie stand at Mr. and Mrs. Brad and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. The website at Airdrie Stud, incidentally, is airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. We'll just keep right on going here, Mary Jane, down at the station. We've had some problems this morning everywhere. Got into the clocker stand this morning, and the telephone line was deader than cat. Well, it was dead.
Yeah, watch it.
Yeah. And it was put a little hitch in the clocking this morning, I tell you that, and God, we were busy. I left poor Jackie over there on the clocker stand. She was still smoking.
she's on her way over. She just called me.
Oh, did she?
Yes.
We've had...
My phone line worked fine.
Your phone line,
yes.
Does? Shut up. Okay. And we'll start doing the show from out at your place. How's that?
Okay.
All right.
That'd be great. Are you kidding me?
Oh, my goodness. Well, anyway, we finally got on the air, and we're over today in the HBPA office, a little stone building over on the backside by Barn 28 here at the Thoroughbred Center. Couldn't, of course, do it from the clocker stand because there's no phone line, and one is required to do this show. And what we're doing today, we've got Al Mazzetti coming in. He owns an old Chatelon farm down in Bourbon County. He's an owner, breeder. He's got a couple of horses out here in training, and we're going to talk to Al. I've known Al for a while and see him out here all the time. He's out here checking on his horses. Dr. Doug Byers just showed up wearing his Oklahoma T-shirt.
Byers, Oklahoma.
A little dated now, Doc. It says 2006 on there.
Yeah, but it's Byers, Oklahoma.
Well, I know
it's Byers. The whole town's named after him because they adore him.
What happened is when he left, they said, oh, my God, he's gone. Let's celebrate.
2006, 100 years. That's still
on. Okay. Michael Bowen is here blabbing off and, as usual on the other phone. And he's got a friend with him now, Alex Brown, who has written a book on Barbaro. And he brought that in, and Alex, you look like an ex-rider or something to me.
Well, I'm an exercise rider, yes.
Still are?
Well, I'm actually now a book salesman, but if I don't sell the book, I'll be an exercise rider. But yeah, I most recently galloping for Steve Asmussen, so I see you mentioned one or two of his horses in your recent commercial.
Yeah, several times.
That didn't win.
No. No. Oh, but you've been getting on. When did you leave Steve?
I worked for Steve from 2007 to 2009. Mm-hmm. The 2 years he won his 2 Eclipse Awards.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is very nice. And, oh, here you got your cards.
Yeah, my card with a picture of me on one of Steve's horses.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Alex is going to do a signing of the book today at Old Friends.
At Old Friends, mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. What time are you going to be out there?
Is it 1 o'clock?
This 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock, yeah.
This is a lovely book.
It's a really, really great book.
Yeah.
It really is.
I wish I had, you know, had time to sit down and preview it. Did you read it and everything?
Of course.
Yet? Well, talk about it a little bit.
Well, you know, trying to determine Barbaro's legacy is really an interesting kind of question. And Alex did, I don't know, how many interviews did you do for this book?
About 120.
Is that right?
Yeah. And I was pretty close to the story throughout. I know all the principles and sort of also helped manage a website where a lot of the sort of, you know, some of the legacy aspects of the story sort of percolated. To be honest, I think the legacy is twofold. One is figuring out the issues related to laminitis, and that's a huge piece of the sort of thing that people are looking at more closely, perhaps, and thoroughbred retirement. And that's something that I personally have been more involved with, and mm-hmm. hence my sort of connection with old friends and doing this book signing today.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very good.
And in fact, we've got three or four horses at old friends that were retired as a result of sort of some of the Barbaro's legacy.
Who are they? Well, Tour the Cat, for one, whom Dr. Byers helped, but, you know, Alex maintained this, what he called the top bunk list, and what it was is a list of horses, what else, that earned more than $500,000.
More than $500,000, and ultimately ended up running at the bottom of the claiming ranks, mm-hmm. and the daily racing form actually was very helpful, ran a query for me, so I have an ongoing list of horses that fall into this category, and Tour the Cat, which Michael just mentioned, was a classic example. He made over $1 million. At one time he was running at the top of our circuits. He was a good sprinting horse out of Florida. He ended up vet scratch, I think, a couple of times, ran for $5,000 at Presque Isle. He was immediately claimed by an owner, a great owner that I met through working for Steve Asmussen. So mm-hmm. working for Steve was actually very helpful for this project. And immediately shipped to old friends.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Michael's been looking after him ever since.
Yeah, he's doing great. And, you know, he still holds a track record at Calder.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's the king of Calder. He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So he's a great horse. And then they did a wonderful story and picked up Alex's story and our connection with Tour of the Cat. They ran a really good story about it in the New York Times. And then they did a nice video on Tour of the Cat. So this horse has done a lot for us and a lot for horse retirement.
I see Janine Edwards has done the a foreword for you.
Sure.
An afterword by Gretchen Jackson.
Yeah. Janine's a good friend of mine, and I actually met Janine, or got to know her better, through her reporting on the Barbaro case for ESPN. But she lives 5 miles from me, so we're actually pretty good friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I detect some kind of an accent over here.
Yeah. I'm from England, so.
From England?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, so we've got so many Irish around here, you better hide that.
Yeah, well, you know, the Irish, they want to be Englishmen, right? So we all know that, right?
So. Hey, get Cargan up here. I want to see what he's got to say about that. We do have a lot of the Irish here.
Oh, I know that. Let me tell you, I duck every time I come to Kentucky.
Do you? I've got to take a little break here, and we'll get right back to you. And if I can figure out where I am, well, Stroll is a Grade 1 stakes winner. And with limited opportunities, a proven sire of graded stakes winners. Now he's back in the USA. Covered an excellent Book of Mares in his first season at stud in Kentucky last year. And opportunities abound for the future. He's back because in his first crop he sired 14% stakes winners from foals, a higher percentage than contemporary Tappic, like Stroll, Son of Pulpit, Medaglia d'Oro, Candy Ride, Sprite Stand. The advertised stud fee for Tappet is $80,000. Medaglia d'Oro is $100,000. Candy Ride, $40,000. Sprite Stand, $50,000. Stroll stands for $7,500, doing a full stands and nurses. Listed among Stroll's live first crop stakes winners is a graded stakes winner, Van Leer Rose, who earned a Sovereign Award as champion two-year-old filly in Canada, and a graded stakes winner, Afternoon Stroll. She won graded stakes at Keeneland. Stroll won grade one stakes at Churchill Downs, graded stakes at Saratoga, graded stakes at Belmont, graded stakes at Calder, and earned nearly $800,000. He stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams, and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack when trusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen. And that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, Cowboy Cal sprinted a mile in 1:33. Day he won a Grade 2 Oak Tree Mile. He also ran a mile in a 16th in 1:41 and 1 to take the Grade 2 San Pasquale, Both those wins, plus a victory in the Grade 2 Stroube over 9 furlongs, came in his 4-year-old season. As a 3-year-old, he ran a mile in an eighth and won 46-4 to take the Grade 3 Tropical Park Derby, and won Keeneland's Bryan Station Stakes, getting the mile and won 35-3. He had served notice early that he was something special, running a mile as a 2-year-old and won 34 at Belmont and taking the $125,000 Laurel Fortuity. Along the way, Cowboy Cal ran second in the Grade 1 Bluegrass, the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby, the Grade 1 Woodford Reserve Turf Classic, the Grade 2 Bernard Baruch, and the Grade 2 Hollandale Stakes. That's third, and he was also third in the Grade 1 Citation. That was his last start, incidentally, in the Grade 2 four-star David Saratoga. He accomplished all that in 3 seasons for earnings of over $1 million. Cowboy Cal's by Giant's Causeway, out of a daughter seeking gold from a family alive with black type. His knockout first foals are arriving this year, and he stands for $7,500 live foal at Pin Oak Stud. Home also of Bob and John, Broken Vow, and Sky Classic. Inquiries to Clifford Berry, and see the website at pinoakstud.com. This is a mess. I'm on this little dinky table over here.
I told you to bring another table.
Shut up. I'm getting advice from my wife over. That's all I need. You don't want to run back over and get another table, dear?
No.
Now, don't put those away, Rusty. I got to have them. All righty. I'm getting back to Alex Brown now. I don't have to talk to Michael.
Hey, listen, I have to say a couple things first.
Of course.
I'll get out of the way, I promise.
No, it's all right.
But I want to thank Brereton Jones for his generous contribution to our latest fundraiser. He and Libby have been great.
Brereton is the best.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Oxley was very, very generous. John and Debbie Oxley, their foundation has been very, very generous. We got a donation from Dogwood Stable and Cot Campbell and some others. So the fundraising has been going great, and I just really wanted to thank those people. And I also want to remind people that a week from tomorrow, the day after the Derby, is our annual homecoming at Old Friends, and it's going to be great. It's a good
Alex, you should be there for that.
I would love to be there for that, but I've got to be in Delaware.
In Delaware? Yeah.
It's got another book signing.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's a very popular book.
Well, they should be there for this, though. Why don't you go to Delaware tomorrow and...
Yeah, really.
Because I don't think they'll reschedule the Winnetha point-to-point just because I need to be an old friend, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's right. Well, listen, we got a barbecue by Furlongs is going to be there, and we'll have beer, and we'll have Roger Bondurant is going to do some music, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We got a great auction items, and it's always a lot of fun, and it's only $25 if you're not a member and $15 if you're a member of Old Friends.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it starts at 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Gives everybody a chance to sleep late after the Derby celebrations and come on over. And some of the jockeys said they were going to come too, but I don't want to commit them by name. And also on the Thursday before the Derby, we have Ferdinand's Ball. So that'll be next Thursday. It's Ferdinand's Ball, and that's in Louisville at the Fraser Museum. Mm-hmm. And DeMarcus Cousins is coming.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know he was interested in horses.
Yeah, he is, actually.
Is he?
He's interested in the retired one.
He has the wherewithal.
Yeah, he certainly does. And then there's a really nice woman named Kate Upton, who's a swimsuit model. And
Okay.
We have something for everyone. And we have a lot of great items and a lot of great people. It's going to be a wonderful event, and that's the Thursday before the Derby. We've invited Mike Rapoli, who's been a longtime supporter of Old Friends and the owner of Uncle Mo, to come. And then if the Mosses, Jerry and Ann Moss brings Azu to the Oaks, then there's a chance that they'll come on Thursday night, too. It's Thursday night at the Fraser History Museum. If you want more information, there's a website. It's www.ferdinandsball.com.
Okay. They can go to your website and probably get
And then go to our website. And don't forget, we'll have tours all weekend. And come out and see Alex this afternoon, too. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's a beautiful day today. You can see some of the horses, and we got Afternoon Delights is on the on deck circle, and he should be at Old Friends within a week or two.
Alex, I wish I had a little more insight. I needed the book a little ahead of time, you know.
Sure. Well, he can come back. He'll come back later. We'll give you time to read it. Take him about 18 months to read it, and that's only because there's a lot of pictures.
Right.
Good. I love him with a lot of pictures. I noticed they had some pictures of some old friends' horses in there, too.
Yeah.
The one horse you were talking about. And
I mean, there's pictures of horses that have been retired and gone to Old Friends, like Tora the Cat. But also we use a picture of Black Tie Affair in there because he sadly, one of the reasons he was euthanized was because of laminitis.
And, yeah.
You know, I think some people, what they don't realize is some of the great stars of our sport have been lost due to laminitis. Mm. Not
Secretariat.
Just Barbara, Secretariat obviously mm-hmm. being one of them. So I go into detail on the laminitis issue and to be honest, as part of the research for that chapter, I actually believe we will figure out the puzzle of what causes laminitis. I think the research techniques we have available to us now
well, the causes,
simply were not available to us.
The causes vary a lot. There's a lot of different causes. It's the cure we're trying to find.
Well,
the prevention.
I think, to be honest, I think it's incorrect to say the causes vary a lot. I think the conditions that sort of are present that make a horse more prone to laminitis vary a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But the root cause of what actually causes laminitis is still unknown.
Mm-hmm.
If we actually knew the ones and zeros of the root cause, then we could sort of eliminate many of the cases by better sort of management, and we could use evidence-based research to actually treat the cases that we have.
What I meant was it can be caused by a variety of things.
Whatever is causes laminitis could be triggered by a variety of things. In Barbaro's case, getting weighed off a broken leg onto another leg is the most likely reason for his case. But then we know that, you know, little ponies eating lots of grass is not good and
right,
cause
right.
laminitis, which appears on the surface to be a very different condition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very good. How long have you been over here?
I've been here 23 or 4 years, galloped here. For most of that time, for trainers like Michael Dickinson. Well, Michael Dickinson brought me over, but a variety of trainers, mostly at Fairhill Training Center, which is why I sort of got connected with writing the book. I knew all the horsemen involved with Barbara, where he was trained for a period of time. But I also had a dual career. I've worked at universities. I've taught at universities. University of Delaware, which is local to Fairhill, and the University of Pennsylvania at the Wharton School. I worked there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Which sort of put me in a position, I'm a bit of a geek with websites and social media and stuff, and you know, I basically created a large community that followed Barbara's progress at the New Bolton Center.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
That's some of the best horses you've been on.
I rode a horse that ended up being a dual Eclipse Award winning sprinting champion. Never won a Breeders' Cup race, so a horse named Housebuster. But he was a baby when I rode him. But I obviously knew he was going to be brilliant, right? He'd just jog around the thing like a pit pony, but you could tell, right? But I mean, I rode him. I rode a couple of nice horses for Steve. Not quite sure why he didn't ask me to go ride Rachel Alexandra, because I was a perfect fit for her.
Yeah.
He had my roommate go Galbra instead anyway. So, but actually, ironically, I ended up riding a horse for Steve called Storm Treasure, who ran in Barbaro's Derby. And he was the longest, I don't know if surviving's the right word, but running horse out of that Derby. So he was racing in 09 and maybe even 10.
Okay.
When all the others either retired or gone stud or...
Is he still around, you know?
He's not racing anymore, I don't think. I think he's retired.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's still around somewhere, eating grass somewhere. But what a gorgeous animal he was. Yeah, beautiful.
What about Steve's horse that ran second in the Arkansas Derby?
Well, he's going to be maybe my pick, just a little bit of bias, but
I was just going to point that out.
But I threw out a lot of horses. Every horse that ended up at the top of my list, I run a list each week on the Pollitt Report, and every horse that ended up on the top of my list lost that week and got thrown out. So he was like number 8 at one point. 8 weeks later, he sort of ended up near the top. But I've also got a root for Toby's Corner because he's a Fairhill horse and Graham Ocean. Who supports the book?
He's really coming alive in the last couple of years.
Graham Motion's a high caliber, high class dude. No matter which way.
Here's a piece of trivia about.
And he's
Graham
an Englishman,
Motion.
Right?
Yeah.
We got to support the English dude.
There's only two trainers out of the list of top 20 trainers in the United States that have never had a violation.
Yeah. And he's one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. He and Christophe Clement.
Well, he's due.
so Graham's due and Christophe Clement.
It's a tough crowd.
And of course, they're both foreigners, so we have that. But I mean, I root for Graham's horse. I think Steve's horse lightly raced, so he's on the improve. But has he run too many races recently? And you know, in the States,
what's this? They love it. Had four starts.
Yeah, I think four or five. But he ran in the Louisiana Derby, finished a nice second,
yeah,
and then he.
He's either he ran either since then or just before the Arkansas Derby, finishing second, mm-hmm. right? Just getting beat both times. Young horse, that might be a little quick for now to come back for the Derby, but if not, he's the one that's improving. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he's only just come out of his maiden ranks, like a race or two before that.
There's a whole lot of horses in this year's Derby that just had six starts.
Yeah,
it's a hard race to handicap.
I looked through all the runners this morning, and I was like, I'm just going to throw some darts at the thing the day before, and they will be my picks.
Let me know what you hit.
Yeah.
Well, he's bred, you know, that the colt's a mine shaft. He should be able to get the distance.
Yeah, yeah.
He got beat by an arch, and you know they'll go the distance.
Yeah, I mean, that to me is why I sort of stepped off Uncle Mo. I mean, he was top of my list there for a while. Obviously, he got beat in the Wood Memorial, but I think being by Indian Charlie, I worry.
He's out of an arch mare.
But I worry if he likes that mile and a quarter at Churchill next Saturday.
Yeah,
I think, you
hear that.
Yeah.
I'm tired of hearing that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Indian Charlie's brilliant up to a mile, I think. I don't know. I'm not a real good pedigree dude.
He won the Santa Anita Derby.
Yeah.
And then was third in the Derby, and not like his fourth or fifth career start.
Huh. Okay.
So
you know much more than I do about that.
That's Indian Charlie. Yeah. And although he's labeled a filly that was champion sprinter, so everybody says they all sprint, you know. But they'll go on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Uncle Mo looked great to me in the Wood up to the eighth pole.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just that last eighth of a mile.
Yeah.
And it'll be the last quarter of a mile next week.
I'll have to ask Dr. Yeah. Doug Byer about that over there. Yeah. Oh, he's get that look on his face again.
It's glazing over. He's got plain confidentiality.
Well, I've got to pay a bill here.
I'll just throw very quickly. I just don't see a horse in the race this year that's a Barbaro. And the way he won the race in 06 was...
That's the last Derby winner I picked, by the way, was Barbaro.
And that was the last Derby winner I picked, too.
Was it?
The last Derby winner I picked was Ferdinand.
Well, I have to go back to Tommy Lee.
1987.
1959, for God's sakes. And I liked... I won on Citation because I liked Coal Town that day. So anyway, you know, they run an entry. So,
I think my grandfather talked about them horses, but I never really heard of them.
Well, you may be excused. Okay, that's Alex Brown. He's having a book signing out at Old Friends today. It's a lovely book from the outside, and I wish I could talk a little bit more about it. But is there... Hey, Alex, have you got a website or something where people can order this book? Or
AlexBrownRacing.com. The website's AlexBrownRacing.com, but it's on Amazon.com too. Greatness and Goodness, Barbaro and His Legacy.
Greatness and Goodness, Barbaro and His Legacy. So it's a lovely book. So go out there and sign it today and get this guy's autograph while you're at it.
Thank you very much.
All right. Doc, well, let me do a commercial. Well, April 23 at Lone Star, the Irvin Distaff Stakes was won by Sheer Beauty, a four-year-old filly by Mizzen Mass. Bred in Kentucky by Everest Stable, Sheer Beauty went to the front and stayed there to win the Distaff. That was her third stakes win. She won the Caressing Stakes at Churchill Downs as a two-year-old, shipped in to take the Green Oak Stakes at Delta Downs at three, and she's placed in two stakes at the Fairgrounds, including a fast-closing third, beaten less than a length in the Grade Two Fairgrounds Oaks. Sheer Beauty is a typical Mizzen Mass. She is one going short. She's one going two turns. She can run on any type of racing surface. She's consistent, having won five times and been in the money in eight of her 11 starts, and she's dead game. If that's the type of runner you like, take a close look at Mizzen Mass, the yearlings at the major sales. He's a proven sire of Grade One stakes winners, and here's a fact to remember. He covered 149 mares in 2008, and he has an outstanding crop of two-year-olds going for him this year. Speaking of two-year-olds, four Mizzen Mass two-year-olds sold at the recent Ocala sales, and he averaged $127,250. That was the second-best average of the whole sale. So he stands for 12,500 live foal at Judmont Farm, home also the young Grade One stakes winner First Defense. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Oh, I want to talk about... Carl Lumbly, who has just built a house. Are you settled in yet, Doc?
I am, but Susan is still unsettled.
Well, you probably keep her that way.
That's... Well, she'll be unsettled in 10 years. You know, where'd you put that thing and what box is where?
Oh, you probably jettisoned it, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
Well, Carl is a builder. In fact, he, besides building Dr. Byer's house, he's done a lot of work for people like Brookdale Farm, the Seitz family over there. Denali Stud, one of our neighbors, Sarah Hamilton, another one of our neighbors over there. They lost a barn a few years back in a tornado hit it.
Yeah, yeah.
And anyway, that... thank you, Alex. I appreciate that. Just got my book autographed. And getting back to Doug, Byers a house, and Carl Lumley, and Doug is very pleased with what's going on over there.
Absolutely.
Other than getting his wife, Susan, settled in.
And
Carl's not responsible for that.
Well, I'll blame him if I can.
Well, okay. You know. But... he'll build a house or a barn or a running shed. He'll build you a deck or just anything you need. He can do it. Repairs, he can do that also. Got great references. And just give him a bid. And his bid will be very competitive, and that will be the bid. There's no add-ons after that. He sticks to it. It's Carl Lumley, L-U-M-L-E-Y. Let me give you his phone number. It's 333-7914. And his email address is lumleyenterprises@yahoo.com. And that's Carl Lumley. Really neat guy, nice guy to do business with, too. Well, let's see where I am. I'll do Unbridled Energy. He had another winner since I wrote this. Doggone, that horse just keeps sign runners. He sired two stakes winners in his first crop, plus major winners at major tracks from coast to coast. First stakes winner is Miss Buxley, and Miss Buxley broke her maiden at Oak Tree. Then they shipped her out to Turf Paradise, and she won the Arizona Oaks. And then on April 19th, It's My Party won the $50,000 sprint stakes at Sunland. In his first start as a two-year-old, It's My Party was second at Saratoga, came right back and broke his maiden at Churchill Downs. He's also run second in another stakes and was a flash closing fourth in a Grade 3 Sunland Park Derby. Besides Churchill Downs, Oak Tree, Sunland, and Turf Paradise, Sun Bridal Energy is side first crop winners at Woodbine, the Fairgrounds. Three of them have won in Chicago, two at Calder, two at Golden Gate, another one at Turfway, Philadelphia Law. So they win wherever they're asked to run. Multiple graded stakes win Unbridled Energy by Unbridled Song. Stands for $6,000. Doing a full stands and nurses with attractive breeding incentives available at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. Inquiries to Pope McLean and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. All righty, well, I've got Dr. Doug Byers wearing his Byers T-shirt here this morning for the centennial, 2006, 1906 to 2006, 100 years centennial at Byers, Oklahoma.
Yep, it was named after my great-grandfather.
I just thought maybe there's about four of you living there.
There's five.
Five. All right. Doug, what's the topic today?
Well, we're going to revisit a topic.
All right, I'm for that.
We're going to talk about bleeders.
Good.
Exercise-induced pulmonary hemorrhage. And... the reason we are going to revisit a little bit is, you know, there's some controversy going on right now about eliminating all race day medication. And we know that about 80% of these horses bleed. Mm-hmm. And we can't completely control it, but, you know, if you lose your bleeder medications, we know that Lasix will definitely reduce the incidence and help the horse, but... you don't know exactly how Lasix really does that, even though everybody knows that.
That it does it. Yeah.
That it does it. And because of that, you know, you look at the race cards and the Salix, which is Lasix, you know, you see the L's up there,
yeah,
you know,
right,
for almost every horse. And,
yeah,
you know, so it's a little bit out of control.
Yeah.
There is not a certification thing that says, well, this horse has bled, so he's legitimate to get it.
I think we need that. Rather than they're talking about doing away with it, if it would just Horses that are positive and tested bleeders, they should be allowed to use it.
I think Pennsylvania used to have a program like that. And and of course, in Japan, if the horse bleeds, I believe, three times in a row, then they can be ruled off. And so it varies all over. Bleeders were first recognized back in the 1700s. There's some books written about that. And in those days, we didn't have endoscopes. We didn't have ultrasound machines. We didn't have anything sophisticated. So he had to bleed out his nose. Mm-hmm. And that was called epistaxis. And that's what nosebleed. Mm-hmm. Well, we always got to come up with a big word somewhere, but it's he has a nosebleed. So they described those horses and that they would fatigue or whatever. So they associated it with performance. And when we got the endoscopes, there were a lot of people researchers went around the racetracks and scoped every horse they could after the races, and they came up with figures in the 80 percentile group. Now, it could be just a trickle. Mm-hmm. They can bleed significantly and still perform well, so we don't understand it entirely. So then we get into another big word we call pathogenesis. I mean, the pathology, what's the genesis of how they get there?
Let me get out my little booklet here.
Yeah, you got it. And so what we used to think is that they had a bleeding disorder, hemophiliac, if you want to call it that. Genetically, we had produced an inferior product. Well, that wasn't true. Their coagulation is normal. Then we thought, well, they break the blood vessels. Well, that's closer to being right, because the current thinking now is that they develop these microthrombi in the back of the lung by the aerodynamics and or some other mechanism. And once these little microthrombi begin to develop, it changes the pressures in the back of the lung, and now they leak blood. And that comes through the capillaries. We know that it's the small capillary vessels back there in the back of the lung, and that's where the blood starts to seep from. And the blood itself becomes inflammatory. So it's like having an infection. And so that keeps generating wear and tear, and eventually you get scarring. And when you get scarring, you lose the elasticity to the lung, plus the ability to exchange the oxygen with the blood. Mm-hmm. So that's when you get an older horse that just has had it. You know, he's not going to be able to perform because his lungs have been damaged over time. So by eliminating that race day medication, you know, are we going to take the highest performance level, which I always say the race day is the red zone of your tachometer. Every other day is below there.
Yeah.
And so are we going to expose him to damage and wear and tear? And, of course, 80% of them bleed, but we certainly don't appreciate bleeding being the sole cause for retirement of horses or anything like that. It's just a factor that we deal with. Kind of like gastric ulcers. We know that 80% of the horses have gastric ulcers. If you can address it, you should address it. But to eliminate everything is a big decision for the industry. Huge, huge decision in my mind. And I personally don't think that the industry is smart enough to know what the right thing to do is just yet. So it's an issue. So anyway, we've got these horses that bleed, and we diagnose them with the endoscope, and we can get more minute information with the ultrasound, where they bleed from. So as you look down there and you see, oh, he's got blood coming out of his lung, or you ultrasound, you can see where the lung got damaged. Actually, scintigraphy or nuclear medicine has been used for 30 years, and they can light up where the hemorrhage is. They can give a horse an injection of a nuclear product, take him to radiology with a scintigraphy thing that counts it, and they can find where they bleed. So that was the first information that told us. That was even before ultrasound. That the bleeding in the back of the lung. And so what starts them bleeding? Horses will bleed because of chronic lung insults. So the horse lives in a hostile environment 23 out of 24 hours. He's in a stall. and you change humidity or you change external factors, and so the lung gets vulnerable through all of this, just our normal lifestyle for the racehorse. So then during that high peak performance, they may have just enough irritation back there that these microclots start to form. And then it gets to be where it goes on and on and on. Eventually those microclots in the back of the lung, when they go to postmortem, if they go to postmortem. And actually, Japan would euthanize those horses. So there's a lot of studies that were done originally were by a guy named O'Callaghan and Pasco. They went to Japan and went to the postmortems, and they described it and showed pictures that it looks like varicose veins in the back of those lungs. That's how it remodels and becomes more and more vulnerable. And again, if you don't have any elasticity, each future performance is going to make it a little bit worse. So what do we do about it? We have drugs for maintenance, like Ventipullman, where they showed where they can't race on medication. So Ventipullman first came out in Europe. That's clenbuterol. And so they just keep them on it because it helps clear their airways. And so if the blood is inflammatory, it moves that mucus out and decreases the amount of residue that's in that lung. Aminophylline is another bronchodilator that you can use for maintenance while you're training. Try and keep that thing under control as much as you can. Come race day, you only have one, and that's the Lasix. And a guy named Ken Hinchcliffe, who is now in Australia, he showed that Lasix reduces the incidence of bleeding in the lung, and showed it significantly, and published a paper on it recently, in about two years ago. So we know race day is our big day, and that it helps the horse. We can't guarantee that it's going to help every horse, but that's part of it, anything. So anyway, that's where the controversy is, and big decisions for the racing commissioners and people to make. In the perfect world, you'd say, well, let's clean it, get rid of them all, and then we got the game is clean. Well, you know, it may not be helpful to the horse. And that's where we've got some heavy-duty thinking.
That's some shorter fields, too.
Yeah. And maybe early retirements, things that we don't want to get into. But anyway, that's kind of the topic, just to bring it back up to the surface, let people think about it a little bit more, because it's going to be
in the news
for a while till the decisions come up. And there's people very adamant about it, and again, I think the controversy is representing the game versus representing the horse.
All right, Doc.
Okay.
Thank you. Dr. Doug Byers, thank you very much.
Take care.
Appreciate it. Well, the first starter from the first crop by DeHare is his first winner. It happened on April 22 at Keeneland, and if you missed it, you missed quite a demonstration of pure speed. Gypsy Robin, a two-year-old filly bred by Cloris C. Clark, Jr., and trained by Wesley Ward, demolished the field in a $50,000 maiden special to win by a widening 7.5 lengths, setting a new track record in the process. Veteran turf rider Steve Haskin once described DeHare as freaky fast, and it looks like Dixie Robin has inherited her sire speed. That's a pretty good indication of what's to come. So now's the time to send a mare to DeHare while he's standing for a fee of $7,500 live foal. DeHare won the Grade 1 Cigar Mile, the Grade 2 Jerome. He's one of 10 Grade 1 Stakes winners by Breeders' Cup Classic winner Awesome Again, the sire of the winners of more Breeders' Cup races than any other active sire. His Grade 1 winning foal sister sold for $4,500,000, and his dam sold for $2,700,000. DeHare stands at Shadwell Farm. The stud fee, again, $7,500 live foal. Inquiries to Kent Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
I got a message from my friend on Facebook, Ralph Quillen. Ralph and I are on Facebook. We're Facebook friends. Anyway, Ralph, I'm just kidding around. Ralph has got a special order today, $4.99 shipping. Just if you want to order at Quillen.com, you select the $4 shipping option and click, and you could just get everything gets shipped for $4.99. Now, that does not mean feed buckets and big tubs and stuff. It means like bridles, I mean halters and that kind of stuff, good leather goods. So $4.99 shipping. Now, go to Quillen.com. He's got a lot of great stuff out there. The store's worth going to. It was 4-H'ers that went out there on a field trip because they loved his, the products, and they got to talk to Wayne and everybody and how to make various leather goods and stuff that they have. They've also, he's got Kentucky Hickory Twitches now that it's breeding season. Ain't going to breed nothing without no twitch, as they say. It's in two sizes, 48-inch. It's $34.95, and the one-man twitch, the little small one, is $20.95. And, of course, big deal now that Rolex is going on there. They're all over there. Anyway, go to Quillen Leather and Tack, Quillen.com. They're in Paris, Kentucky.
Well, Giant's Causeway is ranked among the top 10 on the North American sire list for 6 consecutive years, and he was number 1 in both 2009 and 2010. Unbridled Song is ranked among the top 15 sires 7 times. Hold Me Back is a multiple graded stakes winner by Giant's Causeway out of a daughter of Unbridled Song. Not only that, his second dam is the prolific producer Avowal. Avowal was a champion 3-year-old filly of the year. She was also a voted champion sprinter. She won a place in 16 stakes while competing in the USA and Canada. This is the family of Horse of the Year Tom Fool, champion filly Ann Jenny, and a host of others. Hold Me Back won his first start at 2 at Arlington. He won his second start at 2 at Keeneland. At 3, he won the Grade 2 Lane's End, was second in both the Grade 1 Travers, the Grade 1 Bluegrass, ventured to Canada to win the Grade 3 Dominion Day Handicap at 4, and earned over $872,000. He's standing his first season at stud. Call Robert Hammond at Windstar Farm. Ask about breeding incentives. And check the website at windstarfarm.com. All right, Jackie, it's okay. Time. Yeah, well, here comes my interview, Al Vizzetti. Al, have a seat over.
You want me to do some announcements to the top of the hour?
Yeah. Get that out of the way.
Okay.
Anywhere you want to. There's a good book over there that fella just brought me.
Yeah, about Barbaro. I looked at it. It's got some pretty pictures.
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, Old Friends Homecoming. Don't forget, Sunday, May 8th at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's $25. Members, it's $15. Barbecue. Guided farm tours, live auction, silent auction. Music by Roger Bondurant. Whomsoever Roger is. Anyway, give him a call, 502-863-1775 for reservations. And here's a fun announcement. Aparna Batula, who is the sweetest little girl from India, tiny little thing, she weighs about nothing. She went to Chris McCarron's riding, racing, jockey school out here. And now you tell me that she broke her maiden.
Well, she won a race at Gulfstream, and now she's won one at Calder, and she was in on a horse that was 44-1 yesterday, longest shot in the field, and finished second.
Isn't that just great? That's cool. Just, you know.
She's a sweet kid.
She is wonderful. I got to give her a call and congratulate her because that's a big deal. Okay, Kentucky Humane Center Horse of the Week is Biscuit. Biscuit is biscuit color if the biscuits aren't totally done.
Some of yours are kind of black every now and then.
Well, you know, what can I say? They get green when they sit in the fridge for a while. Anyway, this thing is a paint. It's a Palomino / white paint 4-year-old filly. She's 14-2. She was a family pet. She'd be wonderful family pet. Look at her. She got dark eyes. She's a cute little thing.
Those printouts of yours are nothing dark on them.
I know. Well, I can't help it. But anyway, if you're looking for a kid's pony, this is nice. 14-2, that's perfect. You can put shoes on her and show her in a horse class and pull the shoes and show her in a pony class. Nobody will ever be the wiser. Okay, the Equine Humane Center All Breed Charity Horse Show is next Sunday, May 8th. It starts at 8 till 4, so you can go out there to Joyce Brinsfield's Bally High Show Stable in Versailles for the show and then go on out to Michael's to eat. That's what I think I'm going to do. Okay, that's Sunday, May 8th at Pinckard Pike. And how you get to Pinckard is you go down Bluegrass Parkway, get off on 33, turn left. When you get to a fork in the road, go left again. And if you want some more information, 333-8885.
All right, this from the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association. My good friend Dave Schweitzer over there. These are Kentucky bred winners of stakes last weekend. The Grade 3 Coolmore Lexington Stakes went to Derby Kitten, bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. The Grade 3 Texas Mile at Lone Star went to the Sky Has No Limit, bred by the TNT Stud. The Grade 3 Ben Ally Handicap went to X-High, Wertheimer and Freer. The Appalachian Stakes at Grade 3 also went to Winter Memories, the Phillips Racing Partnership bred that one. The Giants Causeway Stakes at Keenan went to Holiday for Kitten, another one bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. The Golden Circle Stakes at Prairie Meadows, Arcadian bred by Tommy Ligon. The Sprint Stakes at Sunland, It's My Party by Unbridled Energy, incidentally, won the bred by Bloodstock Holdings in Kentucky. The Irving Distaff Stakes at Lone Star, Sheer Beauty, bred by the Everest Stables, and the Group 3 Classic Turf Trial Stakes in England went to Genius Beast, bred by Darley.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, that reminds me. It's in my purse. Blames Dam. What is her name? It's something, Liable. L-I-A-B-L-E, Liable. Okay. And that mare has been
Brood
Mare of the Year. Yeah, she's out of Claiborne.
So. Well, she threw a pretty good horse.
Yeah. We'll take her if you guys don't want to put up with feeding her anymore.
Okay. Or him, too.
Yeah, either one. Alltech, this is great. Alltech is going to be the premier sponsor of the 128th National Horse Show out here at the Horse Park in the fall. This is the show that left New York and left upstate New York, and it's maybe the longest running National Horse Show on Earth, 128th National. So that's nice.
Well, Notional was a runner. He won the Grade 2 San Rafael Stakes at Santa Anita. He won the Grade 3 Risen Star Stakes at the Fairgrounds. Went a bang-up second to Scat Daddy in the Grade 1 Florida Derby. He came back at 4 to take the Grade 3 Salvatore Mile. And he has been precocious at 2 at Wells, sprinting 6 furlongs and 109 flat to break his maiden at Oaktree. And he placed in the Grade 3 Hollywood Preview Stakes at 2. Earned over $733,000. Now, Notional is one of more than 60 stakes winners sired by In Excess, who stood his entire career in California. Now, In Excess is also the sire, of course, of Indian Charlie. Sire the winner of the Grade 2 Jerome last Saturday. Sire the winners of 4 Eclipse Awards. And sire one of the favorites for the upcoming three-year-old classics. The dams of both Notional and Indian Charlie both trace back to Northern Dancer, so there's a similarity there, too. First foals by Notional, yearlings. He has a couple of very nice crops on the way. And to keep the momentum going, the folks at Spendthrift Farm are offering some very attractive breeding incentives. Just call Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Sean Feld, or Ned Toffee, 294-0030, and ask about them. And see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at FrisNet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at FrisNet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Well, the Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine facility is over on the Georgetown Pike, right where the Ironworks Pike empties out, right next door to the Wycliffe Veterinary and Pharmacy, incidentally. And, of course, the surgery there, they specialize in outpatient medicine. And, well, if you have a horse that needs a chip removed or something, you know, that's just give them a call, make an appointment. And they'll come in. They'll give you the cost right up front, too, and no surprises when you get the bill. And the great people, Dr. Wes Sutter over there is the chief surgeon. The medicine man is Dr. Bill Bernard. And, of course, everybody knows Bill. He was with Rood and Riddle for so many years. Just call them for an appointment for anything you know in advance. They'll tell you what it's going to cost. No additions, no surprises. And they, once again, what is their, let me get their website over. It's lexingtonequine.com for more information about that. And once again, it's right next door to the Wycliffe Equine Pharmacy.
Yeah, and the pharmacy is a special place. This is in the age of where drug manufacturers, one size fits all, they put the medicine in a pill and they send it off. But they don't do that over at Wycliffe. This is a compounding pharmacy. They make up their own pills. They make up their own capsules. That it's not standardized. It is prescribed for a specific strength, for a specific size horse, and a specific whatever's wrong with them. This is a great idea. It's just a terrific idea. A compounding pharmacy is just the way to go.
That's Jackie Bernard, too. That's Dr. Bill Bernard's much better half.
Yeah, so let me give you their website. It is WycliffeRx.com, and their number is 888-934-5678. Great number. Listen to this, 888-934-5678.
Oh, great number. Very good. Okay. All right, Jackie, go ahead.
Okay. The Daily Racing Form is registration's open for its Bets May tournament. Bet $2 a day and you could win $1 million. Woohoo! Contest starts Sunday, May 1st. That would be tomorrow. You need to go to DRF, dailyracingform.com, and find out all about that good stuff. Now, wanted to mention just an interesting thing. They have an American Grand National, which is not quite what the big one is in England. But it was in Baltimore, April 23rd, that's last Saturday. They had three races. The Grand National Timber Stakes was won by a 12-year-old horse named Private Attack. And the second race was an allowance race won by a 9-year-old mare named Wild Bird. And the last race was won by Just a Bee, an old Just a Bee's 13.
13 years
so
old.
We just thought that was just terrific. It's a big day in Baltimore. It benefits cystic fibrosis.
Okay.
So they have races and they have a big fundraiser.
13-year-old, huh?
Yeah, that's just wonderful. Okay, and if you just climbed out from under a rock, Rolex is at the horse park, of course. Today's cross country couldn't be a better day. Beautiful, gorgeous weather. That'll run all day, and then tomorrow is jumping. Then next week, Intercollegiate Horse Show Association National Championship. Also tonight is the wrap-up of the National Reigning Kentucky Reigning Cup. What's that? Lyle Lovett, some kind of singer? I'm looking at
Yeah,
Ressie.
He was married to that real pretty girl.
He ain't.
What was he married to? You know Ressie? Huh? Julie, what?
Julia Roberts?
Yeah, he was married to Julia Roberts.
Sad-looking critter.
Not Ressie. Julia Roberts.
No. The other guy. Woo. Anyway, he's in this. And they said it was great.
He's got a great
good
voice.
Turnout. Good turnout and all that good stuff.
He ain't too pretty, but he's got a great voice.
He ain't pretty at all. But anyway, he was riding last night, and they said they really had great crowds. They've had, the new arena's been full for dressage.
Really?
So, yes, they've got so many people in from out of town. It's just fantastic.
Probably people coming down to get out of there.
No,
waiting coming
the
tornadoes.
Up, get away from the, yeah. Okay, KTOB Derby Trainers Dinners, May 3rd. Tickets are on sale. Call the office if you want to go. 259-1643. Let's see. My friend Peggy Manus is taking great dog pictures these days. Stop in and see her. She's in Midway. She also takes Hunt.
You need to talk into the microphone.
She has to take Hunt. My back's sore and I'm sitting crooked. What was I saying? Yeah, they interrupt me. Anyway, Peggy's in Midway, and she's got a photography shop, and she's got hunt equipment and stuff. Say hello to Mark there, dear.
Who?
Mark. Mark's coming to do our weed eating.
Oh,
I don't want to
answer
his phone call in the middle of a radio show. Yeah, okay, Mark. Anyway, give Peggy Manus a call at 846-9343. Okay, Toba is having a new owner seminar May 5th at the Kentucky Derby Museum in Louisville. They're having a breeding clinic May 27th through the 29th in Lexington. So go to www.toba.org. Kim Jadlicki, who trains out here with her husband, is a member of the Scott County Women's Club, and they're having a benefit for a bunch of great things in Georgetown. And she is having a pre-derby party May 5th on Thursday at their place, Stonehouse Farm on Ironworks Road in Georgetown. It's at 6 o'clock, $75. It's catered. It's got music. If you can come, call Kim Jadlicki, 502. That's Georgetown, 867-8056. You going to interrupt me? Can I come back and finish this?
Well, go ahead and finish it, yeah.
Okay. Be sure to watch the Today Show Wednesday, May the 4th, in the morning. North American Racing Academy is going to be on it. And you people who are in from out of town, I got a great restaurant to tell you about. You remember the Black Tulip over in Midway has now picked up roots and drug its little self over to Romney Road in Lexington. That's Chevy Chase. It's a great neighborhood. And this is a great bar and a great restaurant. They have... they're open for dinner, 4 to 5, and it's 355 Romney Road. And Spencer Vandendoel, who was the chef at the Black Tulip, this is now called The Tulip.
Bistro and Bar.
Bistro and Bar. He's the chef. And can't say enough good stuff about Spencer. He's a great cook. The kids that work there are nice. You can sit outside and watch Count Cars. That's what I do. I like
just like on the old front porch.
Just on the old front porch. I sit there and count cars. Let me give you their phone number. It's a great place to eat. It is somewhere on here. Where's the... Oh, 367-6687, Tulip Bistro and Bar.
Well, if you're looking for a proven young sire standing for a reasonable stud fee, take a close look at Cactus Ridge. In four crops, he sired a Grade 1 stakes winner in Keenan, a champion sprinter in Canada, the winners of stakes at Churchill, Arlington, Turfway, Belmont, Laurel, Woodbine, Hollywood Park, and the aforementioned Keenan. He has sired 32 stakes horses, a dozen stakes winners, and a remarkable 10% of his foals. Now, that's 10% of his foals, not his starters, his foals. They win or place in stakes. So if you want to black type your mare's produce record, send her to Cactus Ridge. And the next time you see a Cactus Ridge yearling walk into a sales ring, take a close look. Call John Gasper, Francis Relihan, or Grant Williamson at Vinery and ask about Cactus Ridge. Go see him, and while there, check the Vinery facilities for breaking, boarding, sales prep, rehab. If it pertains to the thoroughbred, they can do it, and they do it right. The number... 455-9388 and see the website at vinery.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company, they work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, broadcasting live from the Minky Beef Jerky Studios.
Minky Beef Jerky, you'll love it as much as we do.
This is WLXG AM Lexington.
Now, last Saturday at Belmont, the historic Grade 2 Jerome Stakes was won by Adios Charlie, a 3-year-old Cobra Indian Charlie. The Jerome was just the third career start for Adios Charlie. He was a closing second in his only start at two. That was at Belmont. Then was an impressive 6 3/4 length winner at Gulfstream on March 11. In the Jerome, he stalked the early pace and drew off to win by 2.5 lengths at the direct expense of the graded stakes winner, Astrology, a son of AP Indy. That's the kind of performance horsemen have come to expect from the progeny of Indian Charlie. Sire of the winners of four Eclipse Awards, including last year's juvenile champion, Uncle Moe. In other stakes, the Alphabet Kisses at Hollywood Park was won by Sparkling Style, a 3-0 filly from the first crop by Badge of Silver. It was Sparkling Style's first start, and she won by 6.5 lengths. Badge of Silver in his first crop is also the sire of the Graded Stakes winner Silver Medallion and the Tropical Park Derby winner King Conchi, who was beaten just a nose and a head in the Grade 1 Bluegrass Stakes the other day. Badge of Silver is a multiple Graded Stakes winner and a millionaire by Silver Deputy. Both he and Indian Charlie stand at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All righty. Well, we're starting the second hour after a slow start here this morning. We had a little trouble getting on the air and a little trouble finding a phone and a little trouble with my upper lip and just about everything. And nothing was working right this morning. I've got Al Mazzetti here with me this morning. Al, you got a farm over in Bourbon. Just where is your farm, Al?
My farm is right across from Jalapa, just about 6 miles east of Paris.
Oh, you got some highfalutin neighbors over there.
It's beautiful over there.
Do you call it Old Shadow Lawn?
Yes. It was called Shadow Lawn before we got there, but it wasn't a horse farm. And since it was a Shadow Lawn in Midway area,
yeah, Ben Walden
put the old.
Yeah, Ben Walden's. Well, I think Ben's dad had the original Shadow Lawn, Julian Walden.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah, the Walden family. So it's a pretty name.
We've enjoyed it and love the place, and of course Jalapa being across the street is nothing that'll hurt. I mean, it's just one of the prettiest places on earth.
Oh, it's drop dead gorgeous. Did you go over there when they were filming the Seabiscuit movie?
We were there looking out our bedroom window, and we noticed a big traffic jam on North Middletown Road. Right. We were totally surprised. My wife was trying to figure out what it was. And the semis were just having all kinds of trouble getting into Jalapa. You know, that gate is so narrow and the stone walls are so narrow. But
how'd you like to replace some of those buildings that they've got on there, one of those barns or something?
Oh,
I wonder what it would cost to build one of those now.
Oh, yeah. The big stone farm, barns? So I can't imagine.
Couldn't do it, could you?
I don't think so.
That'd be like putting up a new Keeneland.
Exactly. They've fixed some of the smaller barns. Very nice, yeah. It's real pretty.
Yeah, well, that's a historic place. There's some other farms around you pretty close there, too, aren't there?
Yeah, Golden Chance is right there as well. And, of course, Creekview are the three biggest farms right there.
Yeah, Tyler Young's old place. It belongs to Coolmore now.
Yeah, Coolmore's.
Yeah, mm-hmm. More. How about that? How about the neighbors he's got out there?
I wound up in the right place. I don't.
You sure did.
I brought the neighborhood down a little. But,
I doubt that. I met Al out here. He's got a couple of horses in training out here, and you got more than one trainer, have you?
Yeah, I got several trainers here. Eduardo Carimori's had horses for me, and Mike Lake's got some horses for me. And, actually, Alan Kruper has got a 2-year-old for us as mm-hmm. well. But,
well, you got two Bourbon County trainers and one from Brazil.
Yeah. I get along with him pretty well, too. I'm from South America myself. So.
I was going to get to that. Yeah. Well, now that we're here, were you born in South America?
Yeah, I was born there. I moved to the States when I was 16 years old.
Yeah.
And
where were you born?
Lima, Peru.
In Peru?
Yeah.
Are you Peruvian?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay. Right. What happened to your accent?
I learned English pretty early in life from nuns and priests down there in an American school, so many people can tell that I come from there.
No, I would never have guessed it in this world. What did your family do down there?
My father's an engineer, and he worked for an American company, so mm-hmm. he was back and forth between South America and the U.S., and in 71 he decided to move the family up here.
So. Okay. Where was he from originally?
He's Italian.
Oh. We've got an outcross here.
Yeah. So are my kids.
Your kids are an outcross?
Yeah, a lot of them.
Where's your wife from?
She's actually originally from Illinois.
Well, there you go. Hey, we made a state. Where'd you meet her?
Colorado State in college.
Yeah. Well, your dad was an engineer down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, doing what? What was he?
Mechanical equipment for mines, you know. He worked for a company at Joy Manufacturing, which is a big company here. They do compressors and different types of equipment.
Mm-hmm. But, did you get into that?
No. I mean, I was an animal science major in college.
Okay. In Colorado State?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You moved back up here when you were 16. Did you? Where'd you move to?
Colorado Springs.
Colorado Springs?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And I lived there till 97 when I moved here.
Were you interested? How'd you get interested in horses? Doesn't sound like you got a horse background.
I used to hang around the racetrack in Peru when I was a little kid.
What track
was
that?
I was 11 years old. It's a jockey club of Monte Rico.
Okay.
I used to hang around. I was pretty tall for a Peruvian, so I used to hang around the pool halls and so forth with the jockeys.
Uh-huh.
And play pool with them and stuff when I was about 12 years old.
Yeah. Were you taller than him then?
Yeah. I was much taller than him.
You know, that's been some good horses coming out of Peru.
Yeah. You and I is probably, you know, the best one, I think. You know, he was out of a Peruvian mare.
Okay.
You know, but we struggle to, you know, put good horses together, but we have really good jockeys. You know,
yeah. So. Oh, my God. Yeah. A lot of great jocks come out of there. Yeah. So you'd go to the races there then?
Yeah.
Yeah. So and got hooked?
You bet. Yeah, that was tough.
Now, is most of the racing there, was it grass or dirt?
It's dirt. It's mostly dirt.
Is it dirt?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, I thought
it's a real sandy track, very, you know, deep and sandy. But, horses that do well here don't go down there and handle it very well, and vice versa.
So, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like horses sometimes going from dirt to
grass or something.
Or artificial.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. Do you see any good horses down there? Any good racing? Or?
Oh, you know, I was so young. I don't remember a lot of those animals anymore. But my father was, you know, really not into helping me get into the horse business.
Yeah. Okay. So you moved back up here and then you and moved to Colorado Springs.
Mm-hmm.
And when I assume finished your high school there, and then went to.
I was there in just 6 months to finish high school there. I finished early, and then I went to college, where I met my wife eventually. And
she was going to that
Colorado State.
Colorado
well.
State too.
Yeah.
So she went from Illinois to Colorado.
She went. She moved to Boulder.
Oh, okay.
Boulder, Colorado. So when she was like 12 years old.
I see. Well, that's interesting. That is interesting, yeah. So, what'd you major in, you said?
Animal science.
Okay. Now, that got you hooked. What'd you do when you got out of college then?
I ran a transmission company for a while. I had,
that's animal science to get you right there.
Yeah, we bought a couple of franchises, Amco Transmissions.
Amco.
I did that for 20 years.
Okay.
But in the meantime, I had horses. That, you know, we had a small farm.
Yeah. I want to ask you about that. Let me get back to you in just a second. Well, Stroll is a Grade 1 stakes winner, and with but limited opportunities, a proven sire of graded stakes winners. Now he's back in the USA, covered an excellent book of mares in his first season at stud in Kentucky last year, and opportunities abound for the future. He's back because in his first crop, he sired 14% stakes winners from foals, a higher percentage than contemporaries Tappet, like Stroll, the son of Pulpit, Medaglia d'Oro, Candy Ride, Sprite Stamp. Now, the advertised stud fees for Tappet is $80,000, Medaglia d'Oro is $100,000, Candy Ride's $40,000, Sprite Stamp's $50,000, and Stroll stands for $7,500, due when a foal stands in nurses. And listed rungs Stroll's five first crop stakes winners are the graded stakes winner Van Leer Rose, who earned a Sovereign Award as champion two-year-old filly in Canada. Graded stakes winner Afternoon Stroll. She won graded stakes at Keeneland. Now, Stroll won grade one stakes at Churchill Downs, graded stakes at Saratoga, graded stakes at Belmont, graded stakes at Calder, and he earned nearly $800,000. He stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business: the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward,
has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners both here and abroad first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, Munning sprinted 7 furlongs and 1:23 to win a Grade 2 Woody Stevens. Horses just don't run much faster than that. He almost equaled that feat in the day he won the Grade 2 Tom Fool, getting the 7 furlongs and 1:21 flat. And the day he won the Grade 2 Gulfstream Park Sprint Championship Stakes, he went 7 furlongs and 1:22-2. Broke his maiden at Belmont as a 2-year-old, 6 furlongs and 1:09-4. Then placed in 2 Grade 1 stakes, the Champagne and the Hopeful, two of our most coveted stakes for 2-year-olds. He also placed in the Grade 1 Haskell Invitational, the Grade 1 Vosburgh, the Grade 1 King's Bishop, the Grade 1 Carter. That's 6 Grade 1 stakes placings for earnings of over $742,000. Now, Munnings is the fastest son of champion sprinter Sprightstown, last year's leading third crop sire, out of a daughter of Grade 1 stakes winner and Grade 1 producer La Guerriere by Lord at War. A superb individual, he was sold at auction for $1,700,000. Munnings is standing his first season at stud at Coomore's Ashford Stud, home of the nation's 1-2 ranked sires on the general sire list last year. Leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Coomore. I'm talking to Al Mazzetti here, who owns Old Shadowlong Farm down in Bourbon County, and during the break we were talking about... He had departed Peru with his family at age 16 and moved to the States. Is this all right? We can talk about this.
Oh, yeah.
We can talk about this.
Still a secret.
Yeah. No.
Well, what happened is they rode him out on a rail.
No.
No, tell us about that. I thought maybe they'd send a hitman up here or something.
No.
What happened? Get a little closer to that mic.
We had a military junta government that was not sure that they wanted to leave professionals leave Peru.
Okay.
Because of the they called it the flea of talent. They were afraid of, you know, the higher echelon people mm-hmm. leaving. So when we left, we left on a tourist visa, and you know, the whole family, like a vacation, and
yeah.
Only very close family members knew that we weren't coming back. Mm-hmm. You know, and once we got up here, I was here a couple of years before they gave us, you know, a permanent visa.
Okay. Yeah. Did you had to leave everything behind?
We packaged a lot of stuff and was sent to us later.
Okay.
And a lot of stuff didn't get here for several years.
Oh,
you know,
right.
As the government kept easing up on the rules of who could leave and who couldn't, mm-hmm. You know, stuff got sent out, you know, later on. And I was 15 or 16 at the time, so they packed up all our silver, you know, silverware and so, which is real fine stuff. And I'm the one that carried it all the way here. It was one heavy little bag. Yeah, it was pretty funny. I felt like a thief, but, you know, I mean, it was ours.
They didn't check it or anything?
No.
Through customs or anything?
They did when we got to the state, but it was
okay.
All personal.
Yeah.
Personal
That's real interesting.
Yeah. It's different.
Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah. Well, here comes Jackie. She's got to ask you something.
Makes you appreciate it.
Do you ever go back?
You know, I went back. Last January, a year ago, I hadn't been there in 38 years.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Was it like you remembered?
It's a lot more crowded, and I know the pool hole that I played pool with the jockeys was gone. So
the racetrack was there.
The racetrack is still there, but it used to be out in the country, and now it's just surrounded by millions and millions of people. I mean,
gee whiz, what are they holding, migrating in from the countryside?
Yeah, from the countryside.
Gee.
Yeah. Oh, goodness gracious. I bet you speak pretty fluent Spanish then.
I sure do.
Yeah. Well, would you come over in the clocker stand with me? I need some help.
Anytime.
These guys, you know, we've got a bunch of Hispanic writers out here, and I can't, you know, the English is better than my Spanish, though, but, you know, I really shouldn't complain. But if I wasn't...
I think it's a lot of curse words. There was a son that lived in Spain for a year and stuff, and he came to the barn one day, and I said, what are they saying, Patrick? What are they saying? He said, well...
You don't want to know.
You don't really want to hear it.
That's usually the case.
Yeah. Well, what was your first horse? You remember that? How'd you get in the horse? Did you race it, or what'd you do?
Of course, we had riding horses, and we used to work cattle and so forth with our neighbors down there. But,
okay.
My first racehorse was a horse named Colonel Kahn.
Up here?
It was in Denver.
Yeah, in Denver. What was running out there at that time?
Arapaho Park.
Arapaho.
Centennial and Arapaho Park. I kind of got into it right between the two.
Centennial, of course, long gone.
Yeah.
I think it's still running at Arapaho, don't they?
Yes. Yeah. We actually reopened that in 93, I think, was the first year.
Yeah.
But it was closed for 7 years, I think. But
was it?
Yeah. But Colonel Kahn was an old Nebraska bred, and he had 180 outs.
180 starts?
Yeah. We bought him for $500.
Did he ever break his maiden?
Yeah. He won 17 or 18, but you know, only about 10%. But it's, you know.
Well, hell, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's he was a pretty neat old horse.
Is that where he raced right there at Arapaho?
Yeah, he raced at Arapaho, and his last race was at Raton, New Mexico.
In New Mexico, yeah.
And he was... really a fun horse. I tried to retire him, but by then he was 11 years old. He didn't want any part of it. We took him on a cattle drive one time.
Oh, my God.
He thought that was pretty interesting.
Did he? Yeah. I bet he did. Were you on him?
No. I had a gallop girl riding him on the cattle drive.
Al the chicken over here.
Yeah, no, he was too much horse for me.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as soon as he figured out what he needed to do, it was like a new competition for him. I mean, he really got into it. He
so he made a good cattle horse. Then.
Well, no, he went back to the racetrack. And, oh my God! And he ran fourth his first out at a mile and eighth after, you know, just being off for a year.
Yeah.
You know,
but, my goodness!
He was kind of a neat old horse.
Yeah. Did you race very many there? How long did you race there?
I started working with the Colorado Breeders Association and was a president there for a few years. Then we opened Arapaho Park in 93, and I raised horses there all the way to 97.
Did you have a farm there at that time?
Yes.
Yeah, you did.
We had stallions there.
Oh, who did you have?
One horse was called the Astonisher. He was the leading sire in Colorado. And
who was he by?
Bold and Brave.
Bold and Brave. Yeah. Okay, Bold and Brave used to stand over at Stallion Station. He was a bold ruler.
He was a beautiful horse, very aggressive, really pretty good producer. I think his first crop was like six foals, and four of them were stakes winners.
Is that
yeah,
right?
It was pretty amazing horse. Yeah. And he got the trophy for, you know, Stallion of the Year, I think, from 83 to 97 every year but once.
Is that right? You're getting, geez, you had the bold...
I didn't have him all the time. It was a friend of mine owned him as well.
Yeah. You had the bold ruler of Colorado.
Yeah, just about. So, but he was a lot of fun. And then I had a horse named Ring for Peace that ran around here and was a stakes winner. Outrun High Bright. As a two-year-old.
Okay. That's the horse that ended up in California. He started out in Vinery here. Got a whole lot of winners.
Oh, yeah. He was a leading sire of winners for several years, I think. Yeah.
Okay. How'd your horse, how'd that horse do?
Rain for Peace didn't do very well, but he was a really nice horse. Put out a very good-looking foal. And actually, when I moved here, I brought him and used him as a teaser for
quite
a few years. Yeah.
Now, when did you move here?
97. At the end of 97.
Did you buy the farm here then?
Yes.
What made you want to move to Kentucky, the horses?
Yeah, I was tired of representing the horsemen in Colorado, and you couldn't sell a horse, you know, much like it is now here. Yeah. we did real well in Colorado, and I just wanted to try something different, and I had sold all my businesses, it was sort of a retirement thing, which turned into a full-time job here.
But, oh, my God, yeah, I bet you. Yeah. Well, so do you came here with the idea of breeding for the market or racing or what?
A little bit of both. I'd rather sell than run, but we always run the whatever nobody else wanted, and we've done pretty good.
We had a bunch of those.
Yeah, those are easy to come by.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Now.
In fact, nobody wanted any of ours. But how many mares you got out there?
We got about 12 mares.
Have you?
Yeah.
Boy.
And they're not all mine. I own parts of some, and we have a few, people that have their own mares.
Board
a handful, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, Colorado people?
Some of them are Colorado people. Those usually come and go, just for the breeding season. You know.
Yeah.
But we have the 12 mares that are here all the time, and...
Boy, 12 mares. How many acres you got on your place?
About 37. We have a farm next door that's got 67 acres. So we
move them
around. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. But boy, I tell you what, with 12 mares.
It's a lot of work.
Not only that, they're like guinea pigs. first thing you know, you've got 50 head of horse,
We usually have about 25 or 30 in the, that's between the racetrack and the farms.
Yeah. Who do you breed to?
Last couple of years I've bred quite a few to the spendthrift horses and
good people to do business with, aren't they?
Yeah, I really enjoy them. We got a beautiful Malibu Moon out of them.
Ooh, boy.
Mare that produced a stakes winner for us.
You ought to be able to sell that one.
I hope so. She's
climbed to 3 on the sire list last year. That's a good stud.
Yeah. She's a greater producer herself. So
good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who'd she have?
The Nth Degree that Eduardo Carmori trained for us.
I timed that horse out here. Did you?
Oh yeah, yeah.
He was a fast horse.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We won the Shaker Town with him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. That was just a couple of years ago.
Yeah. 2007. Is the only Colorado bred ever to win a graded stakes.
And it did it at Keeneland.
Yeah, it was a wonderful experience.
Oh, obviously.
And it was April 15th, tax day, too. So
wow.
It was perfect.
Did you own him at that time?
Yes,
yeah.
With a partner. R.J. Winkler is my partner, and we've... We've bred horses together for a long time.
Yeah, Eduardo does a good job. Yeah,
he's great.
Yeah.
The whole family.
Of course, he's from South America.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brazil,
Yeah, we can misunderstand each other in two or three different languages.
I had him on the show one day. I had him on the show once, and the kids...
Kai. Yeah,
and, they said, well, they were really worried. Says, well, didn't they? I saw him after that, and they said, he sounds better on the air than he does when he talks to us. Oh, I got to pay a bill. I'll be right back with you. Well, April 23rd at Lone Star, the Irvin Distaff Stakes was won by Sheer Beauty, a 4-year-old filly by Mizzen Mass. Bred in Kentucky by Everest Stable, Sheer Beauty went to the front and stayed there to win the Distaff, a third stakes win. She won the Caressing Stakes at Churchill Downs as a 2-year-old, shipped in to take the Green Oak Stakes at Delta Downs at 3, and she's placed in 2 stakes at the fairgrounds, including a fast closing third, beaten less than a length in the Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks. Sheer Beauty's a typical Mizzen Mass. She's one going short. She's one going around 2 turns. She can run on any type of racing surface. She's consistent, having won 5 times and been in the money in 8 of her 11 starts. And she's dead game. If that's the type of runner you like, take a close look at the Mizzen Mass yearlings at the major sales. He's a proven sire of Grade 1 stakes winners, and here's a fact to remember. He covered 149 mares in 2008, so he has an outstanding crop of 2-year-olds going for him this year. And as a matter of fact, 4 Mizzen Mass 2-year-olds which sold at the recent Ocala sales, averaged $127,250. And that was the second best average of the sale. Now, Mizzenmast stands for 12,500 live foal at Judmont Farm, home also of the young grade one stakes winner First Defense. Inquiries of Garrett Walker, Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmontfarm.com. Want to say a little something about my friend Tom Biederman, Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers. Jackie, you've got some notes over here. Anyway, Jackie looks at his website and on a wish list. And
yeah.
and the website, incidentally, is BiedermanBrokerage.com, B-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N, Brokerage.com. Number there is 277-2030. And, of course, he's got great people working for him. Tom's a broker, and he's a horseman. And if you're selling your farm or you're looking for a farm, he's a man you should talk to because he's somebody that you can trust, somebody that knows his business real good, and he's got some great places for sale. I know that Jackie's got a couple listed here, but the ones that I'm thinking about are both over on Greenwich, and two very lovely pieces of property on Greenwich.
Yeah, they're nice. There's not a wasted square foot on either one of
those farms.
They're
yeah.
Absolutely gorgeous. Great fencing, nice roads, the whole thing. But I go for the something that I might actually think that I could afford. Anyway, he's got a townhouse for sale at Griffin Gate. That's kind of different because they don't come up very often. It's on 17th Fairway. It's 1,857 square feet. It's $315,000. Then he has a 1130 old US 60 toward Frankfurt. House, got a sunroom, real nice place. Five-stall barn, run-in sheds, paddock, waters, 30 acres for $395.
So give Tom a call. Number is 277-2030. And once again, his website is BiedermanBrokerage.com. Well, now, April 17th at Keeneland, the Grade 2 Appalachian Stakes was won by Winner Memories, a 3-year-old filly bred by the Phillips Racing Partnership, raised at Darby Dan. 2 days later at Keeneland, XI, a colt bred by Wertheimer and Freer and raised at Haggard Farm, won the Grade 3 Ben Ally at Keeneland. And that same day at Lone Star, the Irvin Distaff Stakes was won by Sheer Beauty, a filly bred by Everest Stables and raised over at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. Now, McCauley Brothers is proud to count Darby Dan, Haggard Farm, Crestwood Farm among their valued customers, three farms noted for raising top-class runners. McCauley's dedication to the development and well-being of the horse. They're the only feed mill in Kentucky and the first in the nation to devote 100% of their time and efforts developing products exclusively for the horse. It's paying dividends, and the success of their clients gives testimony to that fact. So why don't you give Steve Baker or Mike Warren a call? Talk to them about your feeding program. The number over there is 873-3333. Stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse.
Did you look at that lock over there?
Look at what, Jackie?
The lock over there on those.
What's the lock on?
Oh, you don't trust somebody.
Somebody. It's not mine.
We're here in the HBPA office today.
Lever must have his gold stashed in there. That's a big, look at the size of that lock on that filing cabinet.
Well, he's got cookies in there.
Donuts.
And your donuts. Leroy's a great guy. And Leroy, I hope I'm not messing up your room here today, but if you're listening.
You'll hear about it if you
are. I'll hear about it from Leroy, you can bet. Well, I'm talking to Al Mazzetti, who owns the old Chatillon farm down in Bourbon County. And where'd we leave off? Oh, we were talking about that the nth degree. Did you name that colt?
No, actually, my partner named him because there was a bank in Colorado that. Used to say, you know, they did everything to the nth degree.
Oh, obviously he did business with them.
Yeah, and so that's how the name came along.
Yeah.
He was a lot of fun.
So you're breeding for the market and to race, like you say, the ones that, yeah, that's what everybody's doing nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah, this place is full up out here, but you breeders.
We've been forced to run our own horses.
Yeah, there you go.
That hurts.
Yeah, yeah. who else are you breeding to that week?
Well, you know, we've had the Maria's Mon colt that was here last year, and he's winning races now in Mountaineer. And Oh, let's see. This year I've bred a mare to Big Brown and a mare to Corinthian, and we're doing some foal shares, and we're doing it a little different, you know, than we have in the past. Usually we just bred and paid the stud fees and then went on, but we're starting to do foal shares.
Yeah.
And
well, there's a lot of farms that kind of, you know, they won't get mares to those.
As you right.
Yeah. So they'll work deals with you now. It's good. Take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get you some awful nice horses that way.
Yeah, you know, we have a really nice, just wonderful as well from a graded producing mare.
Popular horse.
Yeah, it seems to be.
Yeah, yeah. The weanling sold real good last year. Yeah, of course, he's over at Spendthrift.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I've bred a lot of horses at Vinery.
Have you?
Crestwood. And, you know, when I first came here, I bred a lot of horses at Crestwood.
Yeah.
And there's not too many places I haven't been. So.
You're picking nice people to do business with.
Yeah, they're great. All of them that I continue to do business with are very nice.
Yeah. Well, we've got a mutual friend in the business.
Doctor?
The kind doctor, yeah.
Yeah, Dr. West.
Yeah, Dr. Murray West, yeah.
He was a partner in a couple of horses. And
with you now?
Yeah, well, no, not anymore, but we had the two mares at one point together and sold them both after a couple of years and did okay.
Yeah.
We didn't get hurt, you know.
Only thing about having Murray for your doctor is you didn't forget about doing business with him. You don't want to die doing Keeneland meat.
No, you can't find him.
No.
Actually, I find him at the box, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know where his box is.
You know where his box is. Yeah. You better have the heart attack at the track.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You know, we knew Jackie, your farmer doctor, did just that. Had a heart attack in the winner's circle. She won a race and went down to the winner's circle and died in the winner's circle.
That's not a bad way to go, I guess.
Not a bad way to go.
Well, I guess no. Went out a winner anyway.
Yeah.
What was her name again?
I'm trying to think, for heaven's sake.
Oh, gosh, I forgot now. Oh, well, anyway.
Betty Wheeler.
Betty Wheeler, Dr. Betty Wheeler. Yeah.
Wow.
But she was married to a Schauss, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, she kept her.
Grace and Schauss.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you go.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate you coming in, and we'll be seeing you back on the clocker stand.
Yeah, early in the morning.
Early in the morning, yeah, yeah. You got one with Mike Lake and or two with Mike Lake?
I have two with Mike right now and one with Alan right now.
Alan Crawford.
And Eduardo's going to get some horses, and, you know, again.
Younger ones?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But just... Just the three in training? Hell, you must be selling a lot of them. You got 12 mares.
we move them. We have two more in training in Texas with Sarah Hamilton.
Oh, okay. Is she out there now?
Danny's out there. Danny Kroll.
Oh, okay.
He's got them out there with him. And she's back and forth between the racetrack and the farm.
I wonder where. I hadn't seen her out here.
Yeah.
You know, she's a neighbor.
Of yours,
yes, just
on
Clay County.
Clay County.
Yeah, well, she runs. She lives a little closer to the 27,
okay.
Highway 27, and we do. We live closer to the 460.
Okay,
but you know, but same road.
About a mile and a half away.
Yeah, she lost a barn a few years back, a couple of years ago, to a tornado.
Yeah, when that happened, she actually brought a couple of yearlings to my farm and broke them there.
Oh, that's nice for you to do that, yeah. Yeah. One of my sponsors, Carl Lumley, put the new barn up for
me. Oh, didn't he? Well, that's good.
Yeah, yeah, he's a good builder if you ever need one. Or he can, he can do anything, you know. I mean, he is an Irishman with no accent.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, he's like you. You're a Spanish, you know. Well, no, I see Illinois coming out in him. That's what it is.
No. I spend very little time there.
All right. Al, thanks.
You're welcome.
We do appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right, Jackie. Well, wait a minute. Let me do a commercial here, and we can come back to you. Well, the first starter from the first crop by De Hare is his first winner. Happened on April 22nd at Keeneland. And if you missed it, you missed quite a demonstration of pure speed.
Gypsy Robin, a two-year-old filly bred by Clark C. Clark, Jr., trained by Wesley Ward, demolished her field in a $50,000 maiden special. She won by 7.5 lengths, going away. Set a new track record in the process. Now, the veteran turf rider Steve Haskin once described the hare as freaky fast, and it sure looks like Gypsy Robin has inherited her sire's speed. That's a pretty good indication of what's to come. So now's the time to send a mare to DeHare while he's standing for a stud fee of $7,500 live foal. DeHare won the Grade 1 Cigar Mile, the Grade 2 Jerome. He's one of 10 Grade 1 stakes winners by Breeders' Cup Classic winner Awesome Again, the sire of the winners of more Breeders' Cup races than any other active sire. His Grade 1 winning full sister, Awesome Again, sold for $4,500,000, and his dam sold for $2,700,000. It's a great pedigree. DeHare stands at Shadwell Farm, and that stud fee again, $7,500 live foal. Inquiries to Ken Barnes. See the website at ShadwellFarm.com. All right, I want to talk about my good friend Ron Wallace over Equine Farm Management. He's got, since 1975, he's had 15 years becoming, well, let's see, 75, that's 15, 16 years now that he's, since he founded Equine Farm Management. He's got a background, of course, he's got a college degree, and he's got a background of management in the business. Well, he's been over Judmont Farm, Three Chimneys Farm in Woodford County, been around some top horsemen, you know. But what he does, he's helped farm owners enjoy their horse farms. And if you're buying a place or if you're running a place, you're not really satisfied, well, he can help you improve things. You know, his services are individualized for each client, and include farm design, oversight of farm construction, property management, day-to-day farm management, you know, with or without a resident manager, incidentally, consultation. He can set up farms where with pre-qualified and appropriate contract labor, and free their payroll for your payroll for a smaller core of full-time employees. It just makes it easy for you, and he's really experienced with what he's done. He can develop farm layout, like I said, meet newly established goals, and construction budgets can handle, hire your help for you, whatever it does to make your job easier on your farm. He's a graduate of Colorado State and Arizona State degree. He got a Master of Science degree from Colorado State, and he's written some things. Of course, but he's got some great references for you, people that he's done business with in the past. Hurricane Hills out here on the Paris Lexington Pike. If you want to see a farm, it's a beautiful farm, and he laid that out, and he did everything with it. Live Oak Stud down in Ocala Farm. Summer Wind Farm over on Georgetown Road. He can just take care of you for me. He's got a website, and let me see if I can find it on here. Let me give you his. Get your. Ron, where's your website on here?
There's something circled on the second page.
I've got.
Here, I can tell from the top of the page.
See if you can find it, Jackie, on that website. Well, Ron is a nice guy to do business with, incidentally. And we're still looking for that website there.
I think it's equinefarmmanagement.com.
That wouldn't be equinefarmmanagement.com. Give him a call and talk to him about it, and he certainly can help you out, do a good job for you, like he's done with many, many people here in the Bluegrass.
Sally Vance.
Want me to see? All right. Well, the first foal is by Springy Last of Yearlings. He was bred to more than 200 mares in his first two seasons at stud. That means he will have the numbers in his favor when his first foals reach the races in 2012. It also helps that he stands at a farm that is. All right. Well, the first foal is by Springy Last of Yearlings. He was bred to more than 200 mares in his first two seasons at stud. That means he will have the numbers in his favor when his first foals reach the races in 2012. Also helps that he stands at a farm that is gaining quite a solid reputation for developing successful sires. Every stallion at Windstar Farm with foals to race is ranked among the leading sires in one category or another. That would be Bluegrass Cat, Distorted Humor, Sharp Humor, Spritestown, Tisnow. So that bodes well for the future of the young stallions at Windstar, Colonel John, Hold Me Back, Super Saver, and of course, Spring It Last. And make no mistake about it, Spring It Last has all the makings of a successful sire. He's a grade one stakes winner of over $1,139,000. He descends from a top sire line, Silver Deputy, Deputy Minister. His dam is by the very successful Dynaformer, and she's produced three graded stakes winners, two grade one stakes winners, and the family's loaded with superior runners. Now throw in the fact that Spring It Last is a grand individual, and so are his foals. Come see for yourself. Just contact Robert Hammond at Windstar Farm and see the website at windstarfarm.com. All right, Steve, you with me?
I'm here.
Oh, good. I barely hear you. Turning me up a little bit here. All right. Well, we got the Derby trial today. You think there's anything in there we'll come back in the Derby?
I sort of doubt it, Ursel. I think we might have maybe something come back for maybe the Preakness possible, but I really doubt that they'll...
I don't know if there's anything there with enough earnings to get in.
Well, that's true, too.
Yeah. Well, who do you like in there, Steve? This is Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, by the way, which is published by Briss.
It's a nice race, Herschel. We've got I think a pretty good pretty good overall field in here of runners going a flat mile. The favorite in there is going to be Traveling Man. That's a two-horse. And he won his first race. Came back. They put him in the Hutchison Stakes down in Gulfstream. Got beat in there at as a favorite. But he bounced back to win the Swale Stakes next time out, going getting off at 2-5. And came from off the pace in there and won going away. Was a sharp win, and he's followed that up with some good work since he's shipped up here. I don't think there's any question he's the horse to beat. I don't think the mile distance will hurt him at all. Comes off that 7-furlong win, and I think he'll try to pretty much employ the same tactics today. Maybe sit just. He could go to the front if he wants to, but he's capable of sitting off of it if somebody else is just bound and determined to get the lead. JJ's Lucky Train, 5-horse, is another one I think you've got to look at. This one ships down from New York. He won the Bay Shore at Aqueduct, and he has been extremely consistent. He's won 5 of 8 starts in his career. And he's going to be running at the end here. I think he'll benefit from the added ground here. He's going from 7 furlongs also out to a mile. And I think he'll like the added ground, and he's going to be running at the end. And then the other one is the 8-horse, Indiano. Comes in for Marty Wolfson, who's always very tough. You know, he doesn't ship up. He usually doesn't ship anywhere just to get frequent flyer miles. He's usually got his horses ready to go. And Garrett Gomez has a mount for him. And he was beaten by Traveling Man last time. He'll try to. He'll hopefully try to turn the tables today. Like I said, it looks like it's those three to me in their Ursel. I think the 3-horse Machin is another one worth looking at. Could get part of it for Neil Hyard. But we're going to go 2-5 and 8 for the Derby trial.
Okay, Steve, thank you very much. Appreciate it. It's been Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, and you can buy that wherever you find a daily racing form. Thanks, Steve.
All right, Justin.
All righty. Well, Notional was a runner. He won the Grade 2 San Rafael Stakes at Santa Anita, the Grade 3 Risen Star Stakes at the Fairgrounds, ran a bang-up second in the Scat Dad, 2 Scat Daddy in the Grade 1 Florida Derby, came back at 4 to take the Grade 3 Salvatore Mile at Monmouth, and he had been precocious at 2 at Wells, sprinting 6 furlongs in 109 flat to break his maiden at Oak Tree and placing in the Grade 3 Hollywood Preview Stakes, retiring with earnings of over $733,000. Notional is one of more than 60 stakes winners sired by NXS, who stood his entire career in California. Now, NXS is also the sire of Indian Charlie, sire of the winner of the Grade 2 Jerome last Saturday, sire of the winners of 4 Eclipse Awards, and sire one of the favorites for the upcoming three-year-old classics. The dams of both Notional and Indian Charlie both trace back to Northern Dancer, so there's a similarity there, too. Now, the first foals by Notional are yearlings. He has a couple of very nice crops on the way. And to keep the momentum going, the folks over at Spendthrift Farm are offering some very attractive breeding incentives. Call Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Feld, or Ned Toffey at 294-0030 and ask about them. And see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. I want to say something nice. They can't find something nice to say about Jim Fitzgerald.
Oh, I can find all kind of nice things to say about Jim Fitzgerald. I can get you a testimonial dinner.
Okay. Me too. Anyway, Jim is a great guy. You know, he owns an Al Griffin farm over at in Bourbon County. He's a neighbor of ours, a very good neighbor of that, too. He owns Harper's Island Farm, which is close by. In fact, the farms are just 10 minutes apart as far as that goes. Now, he can... Yeah, he's been in the business all his life, never done anything but fool around with horses all his life, born into it, came over and worked with some of the great people in the world, Dr. Michael Osmond, John Williams, Lee Eaton, doesn't get any better than that. He's had an Al Griffin farm down in Bourbon County now for some 17 years, so if you need somebody to do some boarding or sales prep or sales, either public or private, or rehab, you name it, and they can do it, and they do it right. Quality farm help there. And he can also give you some good, sound, common sense advice. That's Jim Fitzgerald over at Knott Griffin Farm. That's Knockgriffin Farm.com. His number is 987-8032. All righty. Well, what I want to do now, I've been neglecting reading anything from Joe Palmer, and I've got about 5 minutes here, I think, something like that. 7 minutes. I can get through this in 7 minutes. And what prompted me to do this is my good doctor, Dr. Murray West, had never heard of Joe Palmer. And so, Joe, I'm reviving you again just for Dr. West. And this is about, this is entitled Two Gillings, and it's a column that he wrote back in the late 40s. After Arm's second race at Hialeah, there was a great shaking of heads. Looks like he's washed up, was the consensus. He had shown no early speed, and he'd gained only gradually on indifferent horses to be an outstanding third. It was a sad showing for a horse which in 1946 and 1947 could blow down anything on 4 feet at a mile and a quarter. Jimmy Jones, who trains the 8-year-old son of Bull Lee, was at the door of the press box. "We'll go on with him," he said, "but it's 100-1. He'll never win another stakes race." He underestimated the fourth estate. One member, modestly turning his back for a moment, produced a wilted dollar bill and took $100 worth of this. Jimmy accepted the wager, but then shut up his book. Several other persons were searching themselves menacingly. "Did Exterminator ever win a stakes after he was 8? Jimmy asked. There was no immediate answer, but later there was a look into the records. On April 21, 1923, the great old gilding picked up 129 pounds and beat another Kentucky Derby winner, Paul Jones, a neck for the Philadelphia Handicap at Havre de Grace, giving the contender 20 pounds. He ran in 2 other races that year, each time under 132 pounds, and was once third, once second, beating a nose. He won 3 races the following year at 9, but they were not stakes, and he was in with lightweights. Recently, Armed was out again. This time he won, brushing away an inferior field easily and running 7 furlongs in 123 and 2. This wasn't a stakes race either.
but Arm seems to have found the early speedy lack. The guess here is that Jimmy made a bad bet. But Arm will have to go a ways to merit comparison with the angular, big-framed chestnut which captured the horse players a generation ago. The most weight Arm ever carried was 135 pounds in the 6-furlong fall highweight handicap 4 years ago, and True North gave him 5 pounds and beat him. He carried 132 pounds 4 times and was beaten in all of them. He's never won more than 130. Exterminator, which at the same age of his career had raced 93 times against 69 for Arm, picked up more than 130 pounds exactly 30 times, and he won 16 of them. His best weight-carrying effort was in the Kentucky Handicap of 1922, when he was 7. The race was then at a mile and a half, and Exterminator lugged 138 pounds over the course and won by a length and a half from Firebrand, a 4-year-old under 119. He won the Woodbine Handicap under 137 pounds, and he repeatedly won under 135. In the Ontario Jockey Club Handicap of 1920, he carried 134 pounds, and he won at 2 1/4 miles. There are some other points of difference, too. It has always been doubted that Arm would go more than a mile and a quarter, and this has been confirmed more or less by default, since the stable has resolutely refused to send him further. A regular fall event used to be Exterminator's conquest of the 2 1/4 mile Pimlico Cup. He won it under 121 pounds in 1919, under 126 in 1920 and 1921. He tried it again in 1922, but his years had got to him, and he was third behind Captain Alcock, which got 20 pounds, and Paul Jones, which got 27. For one thing, Arm wouldn't mud. In the Pimlico Special of 1947, he made one pass at Cosmic Bomb on a wet track and then began falling back, leaving the task to Fervent. Exterminator took his races as they came, hot or cold, wet or dry, dodging neither track nor weight nor distance. On the other hand, the gallant old warrior probably never had the highest order of speed which Arm commanded at his best. It would be a mistake to think of Exterminator as a patent plotter, for he won at 6 furlongs as late as his 7th year. But it is doubtful that he could have armed up at the middle distances. But at staying, at weight carrying, and at accepting any going, we haven't seen Exterminator's like since, though Discovery came close. Even Exterminator wasn't the invincible giant that he seems as one looks back through the years. He was given his heaviest task in the Independence Day Handicap at Latonia on July 4, 1922. When he was assigned his heaviest burden, 140 pounds, to carry for a punishing mile and a half. This student of performance, then an innocent of college age, was sitting thoughtfully in a handbook up on North Limestone Street in Lexington, Kentucky, at the time, reading the Constitution, or the racing form, I forgot which. There was, in the race, a horse named Firebrand, which, like Exterminator, was a son of the imported stallion McGee. And also, like Exterminator, was a big, raw-boned, gritty stayer. One's heart went out to Exterminator under his crushing 140 pounds. But Firebrand had only 116, including Mac Garner, at the peak of his form. Firebrand, on the 4th of July, is a good enough hunchfoot bet for anybody, it was decided. Exterminator ran a rousing 6. Firebrand won handsomely from devastation, and this department was, for some 4 hours, the wealthiest juvenile in central Kentucky. Exterminator and Firebrand are both gone now. So is Latonia. So is the money. But all of them were grand while they lasted. All right, winners from here last week, and I forgot to do this earlier, and I got to do it real quick. Who saddled winners last week? Since the last week's show, we got time to do it. Bill Hamilton, yeah. Matt Frazier, Marco Castaneda, Tom Bergen, Scooter Hughes, Eduardo Caramori, Mark Hubley, Stanley Inman, Sherman Mitchell, Amalio Garcia, and Mort Shirazi.
Okay, and this show will be up on UrsaWellis.com, and also you can go to WLXG.com and listen to this. Streaming, click Listen Now or get an iPhone app from the website.
All right, well, that's it for the show today. I want to thank Mary Jane down at the studio and Ressie.
Your guest, it was wonderful.
Yeah, and Ressie here in the, we're not in the Cocker Stand today, we're in the HBP office, and that's it for the show today.